Good morning and welcome to another week of Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek and it's a great pleasure to be with you here today. We've got a fantastic show coming up in the next, in our first interview segment. We're going to be joined by Bobby Schindler. Bobby, you know him well. He is the brother of Terry Schiavo. He's the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Bobby is in London right now. He is getting very involved in the Charlie Gard case. We'll talk about that in a few more minutes. He is going to be with us live. Bobby was kind enough, I talked to him over the weekend, to say he can come on the show to fill us in on what's going on with that important case. We'll also be joined by speaker and author Danielle Bean to continue our series, You're Worth It. That'll be happening later in the show. Let's kick things off with prayer now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us life, for giving us another day. Father, we know you have a plan for us today. Please guide us. Please help us to always do your will and help us in all of the people we meet today and all the situations we encounter to be able to see you and to help others to see you as well. We ask you, Father, to speak through us on the program today. Please send your Holy Spirit to come alive in us so that we may speak your word and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for tuning into the program. It really means a lot that you are willing to start your day with us here on Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimak, and by my side, Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
David, I am well. Yourself?
I am well. I love this morning weather.
Beautiful weather.
You know, and nice and cool. So,
great day. Great day. Also in the studio, our director of operations, Frank Eliason.
Good morning. Morning to you both.
Gentlemen, did you have a nice weekend?
Busy weekend. Busy, it seemed.
Good
busy, I guess. Actually, it was really incredible. One of the things, you know, I always say the Holy Spirit has ways of speaking to us, and sometimes I don't even fully know the message. But one of which was Archbishop Chaput was at St. Ignatius this past weekend.
Nice.
And so Lily, my daughter, served Mass.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
She held the crozier during the Mass.
Wonderful.
So, you know, it was really great to have that experience. To hear his homily in person was incredible. So, you know, it's really just figuring out, what is this message you're trying to send me?
Exactly.
But I know it's something. but, you know, it was a very interesting weekend. Between that and all the busyness that you have and everything else going on, it just seemed to be a nonstop events for me.
Dave, how about you? Busy weekend?
Busy weekend, but, you know, kind of doing, you know, honey-do things around the house. You know, hey, honey, do this, honey, do that, you know. But yet, you know, a beautiful Mass at St. Francis Cabrini as well yesterday. And, kind of a typical one. You know, not stressful, but just had things to do.
Very good.
You know?
I know. Mine
good.
Was kind of stressful at times. My phone got replaced on Friday because
Oh, my goodness.
And for those that know, I'm, like, so connected that, like, me without a phone was...
can't imagine that. Can't imagine that, Frank.
You must have been beside yourself.
Exactly. It turns out it must have been working for a while.
Two Franks. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. So now it's working much better. But it took me over 24 hours to get it actually all working properly. And so that was like me without a phone was kind of crazy. But it was good things. And then between that and all the stuff goes on with
kids. Do you think that was part of the Holy Spirit? I mean, telling you things?
Put it down. Put it down.
Yes.
So, you know, it's all good stuff, though.
Yes.
Very good.
How about you, Garrett?
We had a great relaxing weekend. We did something interesting last night. This is a pretty funny story. There's a park by us. We took a walk around the park. We said, let's go out to this little park, take a walk around. But there's this big hill. This is in Mount Laurel, where I live in New Jersey. There's this big hill, and we walked all the way up to the top of the hill. And Eileen, my wife, and the girls said, well, why don't we try to run down the hill? So I said, well, I could kill myself. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I said, I'm going to walk down the hill. So, okay, so we all held hands. I mean, this is humongous. I don't know if they use it for sledding or whatever they do. I started the walk, and my body just kind of lost control a little bit. And on the way down, I just started running, and I said to Eileen, I'm out of control. And fortunately, I didn't
tumble.
She's
been saying that about you for a long time.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. But it was kind of a scary feeling because...
I just have bounced you in my mind.
Oh, no. That's right. We're still recovering from Dave's episode at Bounce You.
Absolutely. But I'm getting better, folks. Thanks for bringing that up. Hey, Gear, I have a question. So you locked, you held hands. But because your momentum took you, did you uncouple and were you flailing as you
went
down?
I was flailing a little bit. I did uncouple because I didn't want to drag the rest of them with me. But fortunately, I didn't begin to tumble. But it was a very nice, relaxing weekend. Yeah. Guys, before we read the gospel, I want to talk a little bit about this unbelievable story, this Charlie Gard story.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
First of all, I can't say enough good things about people like Bobby Schindler. Bobby is somebody who dropped everything and headed to London last week because he saw this case and he wanted to get involved. Bobby is such a friend of the show and such a good guy that he said, I reached out to him over the weekend. I said, can you come on to fill us in as to what's going on from London? He said, absolutely, no questions about it. So Bobby is going to join us. But in case you're not familiar with the story, and this is becoming an increasingly popular story in the news media, Charlie Gard is an infant. He has a disease called mitochondrial DNA depletion syndrome. He's only one of 16 people to have ever had this condition. Apparently, this is an incredibly rare condition. Mm-hmm. His parents are fighting for him. I mean, this is unbelievable. They're fighting to bring him to the United States for treatment, for an experimental treatment. They've raised more than 1.3 million pounds. So they're not asking for the government's money to do this. They've raised the money to do it. The government has intervened and said, no, he's got to be taken off life support. You are not allowed to do this.
It's unbelievable. The government
bad decision, in my opinion.
And, you know, it's kind of interesting because this is part of the medical. There's a lot of legs in this story because you have in the UK, they do have government medicine. And that, a lot of that comes from government medicine. And I'm not saying government medicine's necessarily bad, but this is one of those side effects that they're making these decisions that are now influencing what a parent's right to do. Could you imagine someone saying you don't have the right to take your child to get care somewhere?
With that in mind, you guys are parents. Let's listen to this quote from Charlie's mother. She said this, "He's our son. He's our flesh and blood, and we feel that it should be our right as parents to decide to give him a chance at life."
Oh, I think that's
absolutely
true.
Can you imagine that as a parent?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And the state, but in the state saying, no, I don't
care
if you
have
the
money.
Yeah. You know, and so there is a trial scheduled for today. So there is hope. The Pope has intervened. Donald Trump has come out in favor of this. I mean, they're willing to...
I was going to say that's the crux of that situation, that problem, if you will. I mean, worldwide, wherever you have socialized medicine, where the state is involved and they regulate, people, individuals, private health care issues and decisions. I'm not for it. I'm against it. I'm on Bobby Schindler's feed. People are going on praying for him. I've been praying. Yeah. I'm sure Gary and Frank, everyone's praying for him.
That's
our
right.
listeners, everybody pray for Charlie
and
Gard
and
the parents.
We need to keep praying.
We need prayer warriors right now for Charlie Gard.
Because as we were talking before the show, Frank, it was looking pretty hopeless, but now we have this new hearing. There are signs of hope.
I'm actually surprised there's a new hearing because it actually followed all the hearings. This is not a new story. It's new to a lot of people in the U.S. It's been around, and it actually went through the highest levels of the courts in the U.K. and actually the European Union.
Yes.
But they all said no, that the child can't go. So the fact that it's going back to court today is fascinating to me, and it's certainly a good sign. I didn't think that would be possible.
Well, praise God for that. So Bobby will be on with us in a few minutes to update us direct from London. Let's take a look at today's gospel. I think this is a very appropriate gospel for today from today's Mass, Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him. and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. With what's going on with this Charlie Guard story, I think that's an incredible gospel.
I was just going to say that, Gare. Beautiful.
It's never impossible when the Lord is involved.
Absolutely.
The other unbelievable thing is, and I don't plan the gospel with our guests necessarily, Danielle Bean's going to talk about this today, this idea of Jesus just touching us and healing us. So it all fits in nicely. So my message to you listening out there, there is always hope. Whatever you're facing, there is hope. Whether it's illness, whether it's financial problems, whatever it is, there is hope. Don't give up. Keep praying for whatever it is you need. And the Lord can always do the impossible, because with Him, nothing is impossible.
Amen. I think, in my mind, well, like for my knee situation I've been wrestling with, and I think of that very passage.
Wow.
Like, I'm touching the Lord's tassel, and I want my faith. I don't want anything to slow me down. Lord, I believe you can heal me. You can heal anyone who has the faith. And they just reach out and touch your tassel as you pass by.
Just touch, right?
I mean, touch. That's all it came down to.
It's not there are not special words you have to say.
Exactly.
There's not, like, you have to pray for so many hours each day.
Exactly.
It's just a simple matter of that encounter with Jesus, and He can do it.
All things are possible with you, God.
And I think that's the important thing for us to always remember, because when you turn on the news, when you go out into the world, it's very easy to lose your hope because the world doesn't see things from a heavenly perspective. We are here to help you to see things that way and realize that with God, all things are possible. Don't ever forget that, right? When we come back from break, we're going to be joined live from London by our friend Bobby Schindler to update us on the Charlie Guard case. You might want to call your friends, because this is an exclusive interview on Spirit in the Morning.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 10th. Today we celebrate St. Veronica Giuliani. Born in Italy in 1660, Veronica's prayer was to be like Christ crucified. It is said that when her mother was dying, she called her five daughters to her bedside and entrusted each of them to one of the five wounds of Jesus. Veronica was entrusted with the wound below Christ's heart. At 17, Veronica became a poor Clare nun. During her early years, she served in the kitchen, infirmary, sacristy, and as portress. At age 34, she was made novice mistress, a position she held for 22 years. And at 37, she received the stigmata. Wanting to test the authenticity of Veronica's reports, church authorities conducted an investigation. For a time, she lost the office of novice mistress, but eventually she was restored to that position. Devoted to the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, she offered her sufferings for the missions. Though she protested against it, Veronica was elected and served as abbess of the monastery until her death in 1727. She was canonized in 1839. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
driver's seat, he's waiting on me. We got a packed house, the crowd is calling out. They want the beat to drop, but what we really need is you. If you want to steal my show, I'll sit back and watch you go. If you got something to say, go on and take it away. Need you to steal my show, can't wait to watch you. Something more than smoking lights. So I'll step out the way, I'll give you center stage. Alright, spotlight, give them what they came for. If you wanna steal my show, I'll sit back and watch you go. If you got something to say, go on and take it away. Need you to steal my show.
That's Steal My Show by Toby Mac. Lord, if you want to steal my show, you can have it. It belongs to you. That's my philosophy. I think that really should be all of our philosophies today with your day. Give it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let him work through you. The time right now is Spirit in the Morning, 7:18. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm pleased to be with you today. Right now, joining us live from London, where he is advocating on behalf of baby Charlie Gard right now. This is a very, very powerful and important story. Our friend Bobby Schindler, who is the president of the Terri Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Bobby's calling in, and he's gracious enough to join us today to talk a little bit about what's going on in this case. Bobby, good morning, my friend. Bobby, are you there, brother? Bobby, are you there? I think we may have lost Bobby, so we're going to try to get him back again and talk a little bit more about this case. We did have him on the line, but for some reason we lost him. Of course, we are calling overseas, but we are trying to get back in touch with him. Just to refresh your memory, we talked earlier about this at the beginning of the program. Charlie Gard is an infant. He is suffering from a rare condition, a disease called mitochondrial DNA depletion syndrome. And essentially, Do we have Bobby on the phone? All right, I believe we have Bobby Schindler on the phone. Bobby, are you there, my friend?
Gary?
Yes, sir, are you there?
Yeah,
good.
I'm here.
Thank you so much. We had a little technical difficulty patching through to you. Bobby, fill us in. First of all, thank you so much for making the time for us to come on the program live from London. What's going on, Bobby? What's the latest in this case?
Well, there's a hearing today, and I guess the one of more significance is going to be on Thursday, where the family is going to be able to present evidence to the court where they're going to show that there is some treatment available to try and help their son, Charlie. I guess this is information that the court has not been aware of or have seen yet.
Okay.
So the family's feeling pretty confident that when the court sees this, they're going to agree to at least try to give Charlie a treatment. And that's what we're hoping for, and hopefully the courts will do the right thing.
And Bobby, you did have a chance. Initially, you were denied the ability to visit with the family and the baby, but you did have a chance to visit with them. How are their spirits now?
Well, you can tell, as you can imagine, it's thick and emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this day-to-day of not knowing whether a son's going to live or die, or the hospital's going to decide to remove the vent. It's just it's emotionally draining. And so it was... And being in the room to visit with Charlie was very moving and very emotional to see that little boy. But they're holding up. I mean, they're a strong family. They're fighting for their son, and we just want to let them know that there's millions of people that are supporting them around the world. And I've been through, and our family's been through something similar, and
want
to be here and let them know that we're here to support them.
And that's so we're so grateful that you are there, and we are praying for you, brother. And we're going to keep asking people to pray. And Bobby, just to make sure that I understand this, you know, when I listen to this case, the details of this case, it boggles my mind that the family has raised the money to be able to go to the United States for this experimental treatment, which has some, they are being given hope, but the government is saying, no, you can't use your own money to do that.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I mean, you can distract
wow.
it with all types of hypotheticals, but if you stay focused on the issue here, it's really about parental rights.
Right.
The family should have every right to make these type of treatment decisions for
right.
their son, and they're being told no. The hospital is imposing, and the courts are imposing their values on this little boy, and not allowing the parents to do what they want to do, and they have the means, and they have the doctors that want to assume treatment, so
yeah.
why? And I think people are standing back. Reasonable people would agree. They're standing back and saying, why not? Why aren't you letting
exactly.
the parents provide this treatment in this case.
What is the logic of the courts for not allowing them to do this?
It's hard to know. I think what I said earlier, Gary, that the courts didn't have all the evidence. Nevertheless, they did
yeah.
decide on with you know removing this young boy's ventilator. But nevertheless, I mean, I think from the position of the hospital, And this is what we're seeing more and more back in the States. And I don't
yeah.
know if it's exactly what the hospital was doing, but it just seems to be cost-driven. It's a lot cheaper to end someone's life than it is to keep them alive
wow.
in certain situations. And I think many decisions that are being made today, denial of care, in place of parents' decisions or in place of surrogate decisions, are cost-driven. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's what we do as our nonprofit is trying to kind of raise this awareness and advocate for patients and families that are in these types of positions.
You know what's really scary? We're watching this. We're saying, oh, well, they have socialized medicine. This is the reason it's happening over in England. But we're seeing it here, too, aren't we?
Well, we are. And it's because of, well, it's kind of what I was just talking about
yeah.
with the cost of healthcare today. And I think there's definitely a push to find ways to deny care, perhaps in situations where hospitals. I mean, there's all kind of dynamics involved, Gary. It's hard to
yeah.
paint a brush with.
Right.
But you know, specifically, we look at cases individually and see what's going on. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, the family's not asking for anything unreasonable. They're asking
right.
for reasonable treatment, and the hospital's coming in saying no. And it's just hard to figure, and it boggles your mind the position of hospitals and why they're deciding that they're going to take things into their own hands and end treatment. So people need to start knowing their rights and becoming strong advocates if they are in charge of caring for somebody.
And from what I understand, there is some evidence that this treatment that Charlie could receive, it may help him. I mean, is that correct? There's evidence that it may be beneficial?
That's my understanding.
Right.
And the parents have had this... They've known about this treatment for some time, and it's just
right.
a tragedy. This whole time, this young boy, this Charlie could have been receiving this helpful
yeah.
treatment, but he's been languishing in this hospital because the hospital's been so adamant and hell-bent on you know carrying out this order to remove his ventilator. So I think unless this family did what they did and got the whole world's support behind them, I mean,
mm-hmm.
the Pope, the President, everybody's
I know
in
mm-hmm.
support of this family.
And it's really put a lot of pressure on the hospital to take another look at this, and now they're hopefully they're going to get a chance to help their son.
Yeah, Bobby, what's your plan of action? Do you plan to stay?
I'm going to be here today, and then I'm going to have to get back to the state.
Okay.
But obviously, I'll stay in touch with the family, and I hope to see him in New York. I hope the court, as I said, gives them the ruling they're hoping for, and if they do, I think Charlie will be on his way to New York before too long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? You can be assured of our prayers, both for your work and for the family. And I want to thank you for always being willing to come on the program and for being a regular voice on this show. We are so grateful to have you, my friend.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation. I really do. I'm very grateful for the time.
All right, Bobby, God bless you, my friend. And if you want to follow Bobby's work, you can do that by going to lifeandhope.com on the internet, so you can find out more about what he's doing at the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Dave, mm-hmm. that was powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. And just imagine yourself in the parents' shoes, and there are many, they have many friends and allies over there that are coming to rally around Charlie Gard and the parents, to include Bobby. You know, and as Bobby mentioned, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have the Pope and the president
That's
of
right.
the most powerful country on the planet, President Trump, mm-hmm. to weigh in. And so good. Make hospital, take a second, third, fourth look, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And why would you want to end, you know, this life prematurely? And in my mind, and this is my opinion, Dave Parker, again, it's cost-driven, number one, and two, you know, it's coming from a purely science, you know, medicine, and they're playing God. And they think, well, okay, he's not doing very well, it's time for him to go. It's not their decision.
Right, right. And
in my opinion.
Right, and I'm going to read this quote again from Charlie's mother. Charlie's mother, Connie Yates, here's what she said. He's our son. He's our flesh and blood. And we feel that it should be our right as parents to decide to give him a chance at life. And she goes on to say, for a medication that is just an oral medicine, no known major side effects, you know, there is nothing to lose. He deserves a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, yeah. Wow.
I mean, it could be you, could be me. At anyone, I mean, he's a young child, but just think of the state doing that and playing God and saying, okay,
right.
now it's not worth keeping this person alive,
right.
okay, because
right.
it's going to cost us so X amount of money, and then here we go. Okay, it's time for him to go, so pull the plug. That is not their decision, in my opinion, and that's the crux of this whole argument,
right.
writ large, worldwide.
Right. That's right, and we need to continue to get that message out, and we will continue to do so. So we're so grateful that Bobby and many of these other pro-life individuals are a part of Spirit mm-hmm. in the Morning, because we want to make sure that you're informed
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, I think that's the first step that we all need to take. We need mm-hmm. to be informed. We need to hear what's going
mm-hmm.
on.
Exactly.
And we need to picture, as a dad,
mm-hmm.
I can't picture if this would have happened with my children. My daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, they were born 3 months premature,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they are alive today because they were given the care that they needed in the NICU mm-hmm. when they were born. My mother, who has Alzheimer's, is alive today because she's been on a feeding tube for the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it can conceivably get to the point in this country where mm-hmm. the insurance companies and the doctors get together and say, no, we are not paying. Mm-hmm. You are, and furthermore, as in the case of Charlie Gard's situation, I don't care if you have the money. You mm-hmm. are not allowed to get him treatment.
Yeah, yeah,
I
really.
Mean, that's unimaginable
yeah.
as a parent.
Mm-hmm. They're hamstringing the parents who have the wherewithal to do this.
Right.
And just think of those parents that don't have the wherewithal.
Good point.
I mean, and it's, you know, it runs the gamut of the situation. But again, it comes down, folks, to, you know, it's a life, you know, it's
yes.
a life from the good Lord, you know, and from conception to natural death is our belief, and we must fight for it. We must throw down when we have to throw down and take a stand to make sure, like Bobby is, and
That's
God
right.
bless
what a,
Bobby.
What a good man. He just took off, went over to England because he mm-hmm. thought he could do some good, and he is doing some good. So we appear to be winning this battle. Stay tuned
mm-hmm.
for more information. You can follow Bobby. He's putting out live updates on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you can follow
mm-hmm.
him there. You can follow him on Twitter. And you can be assured that we will give you all the latest information right here at Holy Spirit Radio as well. But keep praying with God All things are possible. Don't ever lose hope that God can do everything. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our friend, author Danielle Bean. She's going to be talking about her book, You're Worth It. Stay tuned.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Wildfires are barreling across the baking landscape of the western U.S. and Canada, destroying homes and forcing thousands of residents to flee. In California, two major wildfires have forced nearly 8,000 people out of their homes. In British Columbia, firefighters were contending with more than 200 wildfires that had destroyed dozens of buildings, including several homes and two airport hangars. And in Colorado, officials have managed to fence in at least part of the fire that has already evacuated hundreds. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, meanwhile, is embarking on his first shuttle diplomacy mission this week, hopping between Gulf Arab nations in a bid to resolve a crisis over Qatar that has embroiled that region. The State Department said Tillerson would shuttle between Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia from today through Thursday, seeking to ease long simmering tensions that boiled over last month. And turning to church news, in a new letter to bishops, the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments has denounced abuses against the Eucharist and, quote, a lack of respect in the sacred sphere, reiterating as they do so existing norms regarding the Eucharist at Mass. The letter, issued at the request of Pope Francis, reminds bishops of the norms concerning the Eucharist matter indicated in the Code of Canon Law and the Roman Missal, and explained the instruction Redemptione Sacramentum of this congregation of March 25, 2004. The letter reaffirms church teaching that hosts must be wheat-based and unleavened, while the sacramental wine must be, well, just that. The document also reiterated the church's position on gluten-free hosts, insisting that they do not constitute a valid option. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
You are invited to a novena in honor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, taking place July 8th through the 16th at the Carmelite Monastery, 1466th Avenue and Old York Road in Philadelphia. Every day of the novena, the rosary and litany begin at 6:45 p.m., and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass takes place at 7:30 p.m. Parking is available on site. Again, that's a novena in honor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 8th through the 16th.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. In 1992, Armand Yangienda, an unemployed pilot in Africa's Congo, decided to create an orchestra because he thought classical music could bring beauty to the war-torn lives of his countrymen. The only problem? He had no music experience, no musicians, and no instruments. But Armand didn't let that stop him. As chronicled in a Christopher Award-winning 60-minute segment, Armand learned to play music himself and recruited several members of his church. Word of his mission spread far and wide, attracting donated instruments and new recruits. Today, Armand's dream has become the Kimbanguist Symphony Orchestra, the only all-black orchestra in the world, and a testament to the power of determination and hard work. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
And that was Overcomer by Mandisa. My name is Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Quick look at the weather for the Delaware Valley. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, he says after having to take a gulp, 69 degrees. Sometimes it's
we're
not easy.
We're just talking about the weather.
Dave Parker, like... sometimes it's not easy to do weather.
I know.
Today we're going to have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 10 a.m., otherwise partly sunny, high near 87. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 73. Tomorrow, Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 94 degrees.
Just be like George Carlin, that the old comedian, a little blue, but in his hippy-dippy weatherman.
That's right.
That's what, still one of my favorites, you know, light towards morning.
Yes, okay. Sir. All right, let's take a look at, let's go to our next guest now. Danielle Bean is a speaker. She's an author. She can be found online at daniellebean.com, and she's the author of a great new book called You're Worth It, Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You. Today we're going to look at one of the great stories in the book about Jesus healing a woman who has been enslaved with an illness for many years, which really ties in great with today's gospel. Danielle Bean, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I am great, Danielle. Hey, I don't know if you got a chance to read the gospel today, but boy, Jesus healed a woman in the gospel today who was suffering a hemorrhage for 12 years. I love the way, Danielle, the Holy Spirit lines up these interviews to match the gospel. I mean, I didn't plan on this, but we were going to talk in your book about the story of a woman who was in a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over, could not fully straighten herself. Jesus saw her, called her, said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." He laid his hands upon her. Immediately she was made straight. Just like that, Danielle.
Right. I mean, isn't that an amazing story? And I love what you point out about today's gospel,
yeah,
fitting in with that, both being along the themes of Jesus healing us. And, you know, these are bodily, physical healings,
right,
that we read about in the gospels. But, of course, they're reflective of the kind of spiritual healing that,
yeah,
Jesus wants to give each of us and that each of us is in desperate need of. You know, that's just the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wounded, if you're broken, if you're, yeah, hurting, if you feel scarred, if you feel used up and tired out, welcome to the human race.
Yeah.
You know,
that, yeah,
Jesus is the antidote for that. He came so that we might have life fully, that we might have life fully in him and with him. And he teaches us that he is the way. So he's the answer. He's what all of us are seeking when we're suffering in this world, whether it's from a physical ailment, which many people do suffer from,
mm-hmm,
or some other ailment, something that's more hidden, some sort of anxiety or a depression or anything from your past that might be haunting you, that Jesus is longing to do exactly that, put his hands on you and heal you. He is the medicine that your soul is longing for.
Amen, amen. Preach it, sister. You know, we need to hear that, Danielle. I mean, and you know, here's a thing that might be missed by people who read these stories. The fact that Jesus would touch a woman or associate,
mm-hmm,
with a woman, that, mm-hmm, was a big deal, wasn't it? Especially in today's gospel, he touched a woman who was suffering from hemorrhages. That was a big deal, wasn't,
mm-hmm,
it, back in his time?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I love to say that nobody was more politically incorrect than Jesus Christ when he
right,
walked the earth, because,
mm-hmm,
he didn't care what anybody thought, and he,
yeah,
didn't care about social norms and the kinds of social norms that were part of the culture then that were,
mm-hmm,
sexist or demeaning to women. He rose right above that and reached out and touched women. He wasn't going to let those kinds of things, those social standards and norms, stand in his way. And I think that really speaks volumes to women of all ages, of all times. We may not have laws that are oppressive to women in the way that they did back in Jesus'
mm-hmm,
time, but women do suffer various forms of oppression or objectification or, you know, being used by others in this,
mm-hmm,
world. It's,
mm-hmm,
it's part of our culture, too. And Jesus cares deeply about that, and I think the fact that he reaches right through those social taboos and puts his hands on this woman who's in need of his healing speaks so much to us women of today, that he doesn't listen to social norms, and that he's better than that, and he's outside of time, and that he reaches right through them and speaks to us about our worth and about our dignity. That is so very meaningful and powerful for women to hear that message today.
It really is. And in your work, Danielle, do you encounter, and as a woman yourself, do you encounter women who struggle with self-worth because of, you mentioned this objectification that we see in society?
Mm-hmm.
Do you run into, is this a big problem?
Absolutely, and it's something I'm very concerned about as a mother of young women. And, you know, my daughters are 14, 17, and 22. Mm. And, you know, we've tried to raise them in a way that they're immune to the culture, but no one is immune to the culture. It permeates everything. So the message that our culture gives to women is that you're only as good or worthy as you are sexy or as you are skinny or other kinds of, you know, really damaging messages that young women pick up early on in life. And I run into women through my work every day who have suffered from this culture. And I'm not saying this to be a whiny victim. You know, women enjoy many benefits in today's world, in today's society, that I'm very grateful for the things that we have access to that women in previous generations did not. But this is something that I think is more insidious because it's a little bit hidden in our culture. But our culture would say, oh, we lift women up and women have all these tremendous opportunities. But at the same time, giving them that subtle message about what their worth truly is. And I think every one of us is vulnerable to it in one way, shape, or form, whether it's feeling bad about your body image or just generally feeling down about your worth because of what the culture teaches you is the worth of the female.
And you mentioned in the story in your book, you mentioned the fact that this woman was probably feeling worthless and useless for 18 years. Boy, what a hopeless position to be in. But the message of Jesus Christ is that you are worth something and that I will meet you where you are. And I think that's a very uplifting message.
I think so, too. And it's such a powerful thing that Jesus went to her in this story. That sometimes we don't even know enough to get out of our own way and seek Jesus out. And he loves us and he seeks us out in our need. He sees us. He uses our need and our weakness and our failures and our flaws as a way to connect with us. He uses them for good. He uses them to find us and connect with us in a deeply personal and intimate way. And that's what he did with this woman, seeking her out when she, you know, maybe she didn't even know who he was.
Yeah.
And yet he knew who she was. Mm. He knew that she was suffering. He took great pity and compassion on her inside of that suffering. And he looks at every one of us with those same eyes. I always encourage women to read the gospel stories, and every one of us should read the gospel stories and place yourself inside of those gospel stories. Mm. Picture Jesus looking at you with those eyes of compassion in whatever it is that you're suffering right now. Picture Jesus laying his hands on you. And he does that very physically and spiritually through the sacraments. We have access to that kind of grace, that kind of healing. And just picture yourself inside of that story and connect with our Lord, because that's what he's longing for from each of us, is that deeply personal relationship.
Yeah, that is so true. And I think that's a fact that gets missed sometimes, that the importance of that personal relationship with Jesus. I always love it when you come on and talk about that, because we need to know that. Danielle, I found it was interesting that in the book you highlight the fact that the woman was full of gratitude, obviously, because Jesus healed her after 18 years, but others were less impressed. We're told the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus has healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." I find that incredible that here's this miracle that was performed, and this ruler of the synagogue says, yeah, but he did it on the Sabbath. He shouldn't do it on this day. I still think we see things like that in our world today. We see miracles happen, and it's like, well, it's not really a miracle. You know, we overlook the power of the Lord.
Right. I think that you're absolutely right. You know, that's an element of that story that I think is very present in our church, unfortunately, today, that you will run into people that will, you know, pass over, just skim over and neglect the importance of that personal relationship with Jesus, the fact that Jesus loves each of us so much. They forget about love, that first commandment to love, and get caught up in the laws and the regulations, and oh, this wasn't quite right, and they miss the big story, which is Jesus' miraculous healing and love for each and every one of us. Like, God is love, and they're just skipping over to focus on less important details or to nitpick or pull something apart. I think that's a temptation of pride inside of our culture, and I think it's something that we do well to talk about, because the more we talk about it and the more we remind one another, let's focus on love, you know, not that rules and regulations and doing things the proper way doesn't matter at all, but let's not focus on those so much that we forget about what is most important.
I agree. The book is You're Worth It by Danielle Bean, available from Dynamic Catholic. Danielle, can you remind us where we can find you online?
Absolutely. You can go to daniellebean.com. You can catch up on my podcasts or find a link to get your own copy of You're Worth It.
Wonderful. And we will have that linked at Spirit in the Morning. Danielle, thanks again for joining us on the program. We really appreciate you spending the time with us.
Thank you, Gary. It's always a pleasure.
All right. God bless you. That's Danielle Bean. You can find her online at daniellebean.com. I love it, Dave.
So do I, Gary.
When these guests we get. I know. The Holy Spirit gives us such good guests. She is on fire.
Absolutely.
For the Lord. And I think, you know, look, I agree with her. About the objectification of women. I'm not a woman, but I live in a household of women. I get it. There are different standards, and it's...
Mm-hmm. And it's happening, and we need to be aware of that and negate that, where we objectify women.
That's right, and as the title of the book says, you are worth it. Danielle Bean, thank you for joining us. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable. We're not done yet. Stay tuned.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 9:18, a Roman official came to Jesus, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has died, but come lay your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus and his disciples followed him, and he did bring her back to life. But on the way, a woman who had suffered many years with a hemorrhage came up behind Jesus and simply touched his cloak. Immediately she was healed. That's the way it is with God. He has time for everybody. We count time. We spend time. We waste time. We worry about time. We have time on our hands. But he shows us that time is for being available. Love always has time. All time belongs to him, and whatever time we have is really his. It's just that he is so lavish with it that we think it's ours. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. Darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. And I will rise when he comes.
I Will Rise by Chris Tomlin. My name is Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Before we do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, I want to highlight who will be on the show later in the week. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Dr. John Bergsma. We will be talking about Abraham. Abraham, if you go to Daily Mass, you've been hearing a lot about Abraham throughout the first readings. We're going to be talking about Abraham and the covenant God made with Abraham. Tomorrow, with Dr. John Bergsma, we'll be chatting about that. Also on the program tomorrow, Elizabeth Scalia, the anchoress. She writes for Aletheia.com. You're probably very familiar with her work. She's going to be talking about the recent meetings that took place in Orlando, Florida, sponsored by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and what role we play. Tony Agnese will be with us on Wednesday, as well as Monsignor Charles Pope on Thursday. Christopher Bell from Good Counsel Homes and Colleen Kelly Mast will be here. On Friday, Sister Kathleen Glavich will be here to talk about her new book. And I love the title of this book, Praying on Empty. Praying when you don't feel you have anything in the tank.
When you have fumes.
Yes, sir.
Who's not been there, folks?
I know. Also on the show, Dave Parker on Friday. Dan Burke will be here once again.
Excellent. Great lineup, Gary. Yeah.
So thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the guests. Let's do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Dave, I think this is a timely one. Because we can all put ourselves in this position. It comes from Genesis 17:17, and talk about Abraham. Abraham fell face down and laughed as he said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah give birth at 90? Well, we all know that the answer is yes, based on how that story turned out. But Dave,
yes,
we all can be in that position sometimes when we say, there's no way God can fix this problem.
Yeah.
The Charlie Gard case. I mean, that's, we look at that and we say, oh, it's hopeless. It's not hopeless.
It's not hopeless. What I thought of when Danielle was on with us, and just the fact about talking about rules, and where the leader of the synagogue said, hey, you know, you did this miraculous, wonderful thing, but hey, you did it on the wrong day.
Yeah.
You know, you did it on the Sabbath, and that's not right. You violated X rule. And it made me think about Charlie Gard, the rules, these inane rules that are in effect over in England, running the hospitals under socialized medicine. And we got to save Charlie and all the love that's pouring in through Bobby, through us, through all our faithful listeners locally and around the world. You know, that's
right.
Love. It's God's love. That's first and foremost, friends. And it's powerful. More than rules.
That's right. And we believe that God can heal Charlie. And we believe that this situation can be turned around. So keep praying for Bobby Schindler and for everybody involved, for Charlie, for his parents, that life can be protected. And that's why Bobby's over there. He's over there. He saw what happened with his sister, Terry Schiavo. He is over there advocating for life. What a good man. Pray for his safe travels as well. And we're very grateful that he joined us on the program. I want to express my gratitude to you, too, for tuning in each day. If you could do me a favor, I'd really appreciate it. Let your friends know about Spirit in the Morning. Spread the word. We are here to inspire you. We are here to try to bring you closer to Jesus Christ every morning, to remind you that there is hope. The world's going to tell you, there is no hope. It's a dark world out there. No, there is hope. Christ is the answer. That's why Dave and I and Frank, that's why we come here every morning.
Amen, brother.
To bring that message to
you. All right.
Right? So thank you again for listening. Any comments about the program, please direct them to me, Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. Time to pray now. In the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, help us as we go out into the world to see you in everyone we meet. Help us to show your love to each and every person that we meet today. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what I tell you every day? When you go out into the world, the Lord's right there with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. On behalf of Dave Parker, this is Gary Zimek saying thanks for listening and God bless you.
See ya.